some of the writings from there. His medical writings. And in the medical writings, interspersed, he has many times different things, different chapters, different paragraphs on philosophy. And it's really invaluable sometimes to be able to read these areas, because the Rambam is one of the few people who wrote in such a manner that it's difficult to actually almost be speaking with him. Especially in the areas of philosophy and in the areas of method of thinking, which we are so interested in, it's really, for our purpose, very beneficial to go through some of his writings. This particular one I came across recently, this came out with this new translation of the Igros Rambam. And in the back, he translates some of the medical writings. And it's interesting that he mentions something which I think basically we had also mentioned beforehand. We know that in order to have a knowledge of man, you cannot have an accurate knowledge of man unless you know psychology. Unless you know psychology of the individual, you just simply study the psyche. And it has been discovered not too long ago that the way to know the psyche of man is not just to know the normal psyche, but to know the abnormal psyche. From the abnormal mind, we can know the normal mind, for the simple reason that every normal mind also has the abnormal, but the degree to which it is present is what differentiates between the normal human being and the abnormal. Simple example is, and this was noticed many years ago by Plato, that dreams of the normal person are exactly the same as actions of the insane. So that you see that some of the abnormal exists in every individual.
Is all dreams abnormal?
What?
All dreams are abnormal?
But all dreams are the same, exact same thing as a totally insane person. Dreams are the normal people, yes.
So the only difference between, so an abnormal person and a normal, is that
we have to go into what precisely. The question then, of course, is what is the difference between the abnormal and the normal? But without going into that specific area, what the specific guidelines are for differentiating between normal and the abnormal, we see, at any rate, that the abnormal is contained within the normal. In other words, the abnormal does exist within the normal human being. Now, why, during the waking life, the difference is so great has to be investigated. But we're not going to go into that area right now, yes?
When you say the dream, yeah, you don't mean actually what a person dreams about, you mean what the dream signifies.
In other words, even to an observer, one who is just observing in a very superficial way, can see that the actions that he dreams about will be are the same thing that the people perform, live through, within the same as ours. No, just even superficially, what a person dreams of would be appropriately described as activities of an insane individual. And if you go into deeper, if you go into beneath the surface, you'll find that the same exact reasons, the same theories which explain the insane, explain the individual, the normal human being during his dream formation. But at any rate, I just want to get to this point. There are two states of mental disease, mental disorders. Basically, two categories. One is neuroses and one is psychoses. And it's important to know the difference between these two states. These two different states, neuroses and psychoses. Okay, neuroses, of course, is the more prevalent than psychoses. What exactly defines the difference? What exactly differentiates between the two? Anybody have a...
Something about psychoses, the guys beyond my days, who's not really in the world.
In the psychoses, the person has lost contact with the external reality. In other words, the sense perception is distorted. Psychosis, the sense perception is distorted. In neuroses, the sense perception is not distorted. The only thing is that the person is involved in certain compulsive performances which disturb his life. He might be doing certain things that either are types of simple formations, in the sense that he does certain actions which he must do, certain compulsive actions, or else certain things occur to him, like he can faint, certain different he can go for fainting spells, or a certain unconscious manifestation which happens to him against his will. But he is in contact with reality. He does know what reality is. Yes.
What do you mean by not being in contact?
Not being in contact with reality means when there's a distortion of sense perception. Like, for instance, he sees a snake in the corner of the hall. Certain things, the sun is shining and he can't tell. Can't see it. Doesn't know whether there's a window there, whether it's a wall. Mm-hmm. He has totally, his senses are completely distorted. So in one case, what happens is basically both are rooted in the same source. Both are rooted in the same source. The source is, what is the source? In the instincts of man, in the instinctual components. When a person becomes ill, it's because the instinctual components cannot attain gratification. You see? Now, in one case, reality is maintained. But the only thing is that the conflict is solved through certain performances. In the other case, the conflict is solved through overthrowing reality. So that part of the mind which sees reality is completely overthrown, and the instincts can express themselves in totally dominating the reality scene and creating a whole new scene in accordance with their desires.
Is this consciously done or unconsciously?
Unconsciously.
Unconsciously.
He doesn't know
it. When the Ruach performs a compulsion, isn't he also outside contact with reality at that time? But he thinks this is going to give him some value.
We're talking about sense perception. But the neurotic also knows that the
he doesn't want to do it.
But he knows it's disturbing him. On the contrary, if the neurotic was happy with his particular symptoms, then there'd be no problem. I mean, he'd be fine. The only thing is that he's unhappy with the symptoms. So he tries to fight the symptoms. But he knows the symptoms are no good. He knows he's dissatisfied with them. If he's satisfied with them, he's going to stop. He's dissatisfied with him, that's in a neurotic state. But he knows what reality is, that's the difference. So we said one time that this is one type of disease of the mind. This disease is a disease which affects the instinctual components of man. And this is simply one type of illness. But there's another kind of illness. It is very similar to this, but it doesn't affect the instincts of man, but rather the rational part of man. We notice that, for instance, in the area of living the proper life, in philosophy, we have two similar disorders. And this is the first group I mentioned is disorders of the instincts. This is not disorders of the instincts, but disorders of the mind. Disorders of the human mind. Not disorders of the senses, but disorders of the ability to reason. That ability to reason also can suffer from a disorder. Now, I want you to know, when psychologists speak about disorders, they do not talk about this disorder. They're not referring to this disorder. Yes?
Would this be conscious?
We'll censor it. You mean whether he does it willfully or not willfully? We'll censor it. But psychologists are not concerned with this disorder. Psychologists are only concerned with the disorder of the instincts. But there is another disorder, a philosophical disorder. A disorder of the mind, insofar as the mind is capable of attaining the truth. And we coined the term, the philosophical neurotic and the philosophical psychotic. We differentiated between the two. We said as follows. We said that there are two types of people. Sometimes you notice when you argue with an individual, you come across two different types. In one case, the philosophical argument, though it would seem to be accurate and the person cannot in any way disprove it, simply will refuse to accept it. Just refusal. Open refusal. This we would term philosophical psychotic. Psychotic means that the reality of the mind has been overpowered to see, the reality of the mind has been overpowered. Just like the reality of sense perception is overpowered in the case of the actual psychotic, the reality principle of the mind with intelligence is overpowered in the case of the philosophical psychotic. Now, he might not be a person that lives in an insane asylum. On the contrary, usually he's found in an However, the case remains that this is certainly an illness. Perhaps people are not that concerned with that illness because they don't see the detriment. The detriment is not as easily seen. Nevertheless, those who have knowledge, concerning the true purpose of life, realize that this could be even worse than the other one. And the real psychologist. Yes.
By you meaning he doesn't accept it? You mean he doesn't accept it philosophically or practically?
Right. Philosophically. In other words, the mind cannot see it. By the way, for that case. Philosophically. Then there's another case. There's a case of a person who sees the argument, sees the truth. He can understand what the correct way of life is. No problem in understanding the arguments. But he has a different problem. Problem is carrying it out. Sees the argument, but he can't carry it through. This person is not as ill as the first one. Not as ill as the first one. Because he knows what the proper thing to do is. The only thing is that he can't carry it out. He knows that the most important thing is to be learning. But he can't possibly get up before 10 o'clock. Yes.
What doesn't want
is no such thing. I'll tell you why it doesn't want to.
One
of the two ways.
Part of seeing it is wanting.
You see, in simple terms, to the uneducated, there's just a thing he wants, but he doesn't want it. But really, when you go a little further, you see that there's no such thing. Because every person wants to do what is best and what he thinks is best. And therefore, when he sees through logic the reason that this is the correct way to live, so one of two things occur. Either he simply resists the arguments, he can't possibly accept it, or else, if he accepts it, he wants it. But he wants it, but he has difficulty in overcoming his instincts and living accordingly. So there are two types. So he's in a state of philosophical frustration. So we said there are two types, basically, the philosophical psychotic, philosophical neurotic. Now it's interesting, the words of the Rambam, this particular Rambam, is almost exactly the way we've defined the philosophical psychotic. This is an interesting, very interesting new chapter that we got. I'll read it to you and I'll translate it. And I don't think the only one person has it. Amar Moshe. That's the Rambam. Amar Moshe. The Rambam said, Yidui nein divrei ha-philosophi. He says, the words of the philosophers are well known. Ki l'nefesh b'riyus v'chuli, k'moshi eish l'guf b'riyus v'chuli. He says that the soul has health and disease just like the body has health and disease. Now I want you to know this is an old formula, an ancient formula. Very old formula about the diseases of the soul, Now by disease of the soul, he does not mean, I want you to know, when the Rishonim talk about disease of the soul, they do not mean neuroses and psychoses, what they mean today. That's not what they're referring to. They're referring to something else. You'll tell me what he's referring to when you see the case of you, see the illustration. So yes. V'osom machlos hanefesh. And those diseases of the soul, ubriyuso, and its healthy state, shedibru bohem, that they spoke about them, hein ba'ashkofos ubamidos. These diseases are an ashkofos and amidos. Which two, how do you define it though? Ashkofos amidos.
What's that?
Ashkofos, what does ashkofos mean?
Ideas.
Now he's not talking about a person who doesn't have the intelligence. A person who doesn't have the intelligence is not disease. Simply doesn't have the ability. A disease means a person that has the intelligence, has the ability to comprehend, but there's something there preventing him, like an illness that's preventing his comprehension. You see? That's hashkafos. And what is bemidos? Bemidos? That's the philosophical approach. The elam miyuchodim ba'odim b'lisafek. And these are found specifically in man without any doubt. ולפיכך עקרוני את ההשקפות הבלתי נכונות והמידות הגרועות על כל ריבוי שינוי מיניהם המחלות האנושיות. Therefore the Rambam says, I coined the phrase to these two diseases, he calls them machlos anushios. With an
elephant.
Yeah. Anushios. Enosh. Human diseases. Human. They're human. Why are they human? They can't relate to the animal. Why? Because they only relate to what? The rational part of man. See? That's why I tell you, he's not talking about the psychological disorders that the modern day thinkers concern themselves with. This is not what the Rambam is talking about. The modern day psychologists are only concerned with diseases. You would not call them specifically, or the Rambam would not call them machlos anushios. He would not call them human disorders. Why? Because these disorders can be found in the animal world as well. And the only thing is that the capacity for these disorders exists to a greater degree in man. But you can create neuroses in an animal as well. Now that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about machlos anishias, those diseases which are related to that part of man which differentiates him from the animal, which means the intelligence. Okay.
What's mean by midas?
Midas means the ability to carry out. The ability to midas, person that can't, midas means person that lacks a midas means he can't carry out what his intelligence dictates. That's the midas.
How can
his emotions overpower?
How can the animal have this disease that
cannot have this
disease? That's the only human. The part that affects the rational.
Yeah, it's a body.
The animal can have a disease that affects
The animal can have a disease that affects the instincts. Yes. They do. See, they don't usually get it. Man is created in a way, in a special way, that he is very prone to the diseases of the psychosis and the neuroses. But animals that can be artificially implanted in the animal life, they do that. But normally, animal will not get it. But that's also, we have to understand why is it that way. That's another discussion we should take up. Why man is created in such a way that he's subject to the neurosis and psychosis. I mean, God created man in the best possible way. So if he's subject to an illness, there must be some purpose and benefit from it. But that's not what we're not going to take it up. Okay. Now it's like this. This is also, I'm mentioning this part because I think that the ideas found in this area of the realm are extremely important. It says, in the klal ha-machlos ha-nushios, and among those human disorders, machla klolis, which is a general disorder, kimat she'ein nitzel mimena, practically nobody is spared from it, kiyim achotim, except very few, u'bizmanim miruchotim, and at very distant intervals of time. You won't find very few at the same time. V'yishtana osu acholi b'vnei adam, and this disease is found in man, different changes, is different in man, beribui ubemuitz. The difference is expressed in a quantitative fashion. Some people have the disease more, some people have the disease less. But it's found on the whole in most people. Ki yeser ha-machlos ha-gufriyos va-nefashiyos. Like other diseases. To a larger degree and to a less degree. And this disease of which I am speaking, this is that people consider themselves more perfect than they are. He says, this is a disease. Now, all right, if he would have stopped over there, it wouldn't be so bad. But he shows you what results from this, how it works. See? In other words, the Rambam is saying is simply that when it comes to the principle of the mind, the human being can, through his mind, ascertain what reality is. There's one reality that escapes most people. The truth of that reality escapes most people. Which truth is that?
He doesn't know anything.
The truth concerning himself.
Limitation.
His own evaluation. Yeah.
the dharma of the self-evaluation. This ability of the mind, the ability of the mind is impeded with when it comes to this area. A person can be great mathematicians, great physicists. That area, the intellect can operate very well. But however, when it comes to one area, the intellect is impeded with, the disease sets in and prevents him from ascertaining a true picture, true evaluation of his own being. This is the disease, which Sharam says, is widespread and is found among everybody, practically, except for very few, and at different levels. Yes.
Well, isn't he just restating what he just said before? Because this is the not realizing imperfection. If you would realize it, you wouldn't have the problems of these other problems of philosophical psychosis and philosophical neurosis.
Oh, sorry. What do you mean? Well, philosophical
neurosis. If you would realize his imperfections, then he would be able to improve himself, and then these two general. I'm just saying that this one thing is really encompasses the other two.
Why does it encompass the other two? Because he doesn't know his perfection. No.
And it all stems from that.
No. See, all these, there's two different things over here. He's not saying, it is true that if a person would know his imperfections, he can get to work on that. It doesn't necessarily mean if he knows his imperfections, they're going to vanish. Let's say he knows he has imperfections, or he knows his limitations. There are two things. There are limitations and imperfections. A person might not have the mental ability. He knows his mental ability is limited. He knows everybody's mental ability is limited. He knows his limitation. By knowing the limitation, he doesn't necessarily know a disorder. That's first of all. Doesn't know there's no disorder there. He has a limited intellectual capacity, and he recognizes that this is it. So what does he do? He deals with it, and he deals with it in accordance with how reality dictates that a person should deal with their mind, based on what that particular mind is capable of doing. That would be in contact with reality. There wouldn't be any disease at all. But even in the case where there is disease, this disease will prevent him from seeing other diseases. That's true. But it is a separate disease. It's a separate disease. It's not the same disease. This disease will prevent him from recognizing disease in himself. It will prevent him from recognizing limitations in himself. That is, it's not the same thing as the limitation itself. It's the inability to recognize the limitation or the disease. But it doesn't necessarily mean the person has a disease. The person could not have any other disease and have this one. For instance, he has no other imperfections, but he doesn't want to recognize his innate limitation. So it is not the same as the other. The other ones are specific diseases. This is a general disease where the person fails to recognize his own limitations. Now, it's like this. All right, so it's a disease. Why should we concern ourselves with this disease more than any other disease? It's a disease. Fine. Plenty of diseases. Now, this one is very detrimental. This one carries with it something which is very harmful. In general, not only insofar as the knowledge of the particular area which it clouds, but insofar as knowledge in general, that affects his whole mind and his whole intelligence. Why? So, yes. Ve'yoso rotsev ha'shoyf. And the person desires, wills and desires, shenikabel kol mashehu sover asav. Kol mashehu sover. That we should accept everything that he thinks. Kol mashehu sover oso shleimus lelo omel v'yegia. That's one of the expressions of the disease. One of the expressions of the disease is that this person who has it wants that we should accept from him every premise, every theory, every idea that he espouses, without any omel v'yegia. What does it mean without any omel v'yegia?
Research.
Without any analysis, without any observation. In other words, what happens is that from the disease begins with the overestimation of the self. But it doesn't end over there, you see. This overestimation of the self carries with it something else. It carries with it the idea that the man starts thinking that whatever he says is the truth. Whatever he says is the truth. And rather than living according to the arguments and according to reason, he lives according to a person, namely himself. Or others can also be harmed by that. How would others be harmed by that? Because other people who might respect this individual will start accepting other things that he says in other areas where he doesn't have any proofs based on merely the fact that he said it. You see? This is a very detrimental thing. Why is it detrimental? Because it is something which could lead man totally astray. See, man has the ability to uncover the truth, but that ability only lies in the omelin yikia, which God gave him in order to be able to ascertain the truth. But every step of the truth must be worked out rationally. He can never sit back and rely on his own wishes. He wants things to be... I think this is probably the way it is. This is nothing more than the ego of man thought. The ego of man wants to reach a level where he's an authority. Authority means that whatever he says is the way it is. So that means this. Nobody ever really reaches that level. No human being ever reaches that level. The only thing a human being can do is to demonstrate, he has the ability to demonstrate through argument certain truths, or to demonstrate possibilities. I don't know what the truth is exactly, no, two possibilities. But this is the only ability that man has. Aside from that, there is a tremendous presumptuousness of man in which he assumes that he knows the truth, when in reality he has no knowledge at all. This presumptuousness of man, this is the general disease which Rama is talking about. Okay. Yeah. Really startling. Socrates, all the arguments of Socrates are basically against this disease. This is all. Show the presumptuousness of man. But what happens is that the disease is such a tricky one that even people who are involved in reasoning get caught up in it. Because at first they get involved in reasoning, but once they get involved in reasoning, they start relaxing. Relaxing their guard and start assuming that since they have knowledge in the area, they can start positing things, positing theories, positing truths without any proofs. See, that is dangerous. That's a dangerous thing. Okay, Umachmasakoli because of this general illness, Anumotsim Ishim Ibn Adam, we find personalities among people. Bale Pikos Eiros. People who are very sharp, intelligent minds. Who have learned one of the areas of knowledge. Philosophy means all areas of knowledge. Because years ago, they called everything was called philosophy. Like it wasn't called because it's natural philosophy. Philosophy means any area of knowledge that man has. Shekvar lomdu echad me'amadoyim ha-philosophim. They learned one of the sciences, ho'yuni imbalimudim. Those which are abstract, and which require knowledge. I don't know precisely his differentiation here. He's breaking up two different types of knowledge. I don't know precisely what he means. The nisnuchu b'ayse amada, but it's unimportant for this dialogue. The nisnuchu b'ayse amada, and the person attains a certain amount of knowledge in this science. V'oz yidaber oso adam. Then this person will start talking. But also Hamada, Asher Nismachabo, in that science in which he has attained a large degree of success and knowledge, Ubumadoim Acherim, and in other sciences, in other areas, Shein lo ban yidya klal, which he has no knowledge at all. Oh, she is the also mitzum temes b'ayam, or that his knowledge is very limited in those other areas, still he will speak about those areas. The Yaseh Devorov Ba'osa Hamadoim, and he will make his words in these other sciences. Kidvorov Ba'osa Hamadash Hubakibo. Just like his words in that area which he knows very well. Which means what happened? Really, what happened to him? What happened to him? What's on the stance like watching what happened to him? Right, in other words, you see, the scientific knowledge in one area was enough. To catch the cause and to catch the illness, to catch the disease. And the disease was that what he says is in line with truth. Therefore, he can abandon all the arguments. And what happens? Simply, whatever he says, he assumes it's true. See, he has knowledge in one area. But the knowledge leads to the disease. His knowledge has led him to a disease. How has his knowledge led him to a disease? In what respect? How has the knowledge led to the disease?
He let them destroy it.
There is a general desire in man to assume that he knows the truth. Now, ordinarily, he can't express this desire. Why can't he express this desire? Because he knows he doesn't know anything. What's he going to say? He knows he doesn't know. Right?
But that's the whole point. Is it possible for a guy to have a disease without knowing anything?
Yeah, it's possible.
So how come, I don't understand why
you... But it's possible for a person who would ordinarily not become ill to become ill through knowledge. You see? This is the amazing thing about this disease. This disease can be caused through knowledge. Through knowledge.
Yeah, it's always...
In other words, it's possible that a person has the susceptibility for the disease, but this susceptibility is not brought about until he attains knowledge. Once he attains knowledge, then the disease is going to be... Then the disease will be rampant. See? Why has it worked?
I know that, but give me an example.
A person, you see, if a person has a disease where he simply thinks whatever he says is true, I mean, I would say that he's liable to be involved in the real psychosis, not that he's nothing philosophical. You see, factually, it's not true, so you can't deny it. You just have to stop denying the senses. You have to stop denying the senses. A person just assumes that whatever he says is true, and he has no knowledge in the area, he's going to have to stop denying the senses sooner or later, because sense perception tells him he doesn't understand how Scott works, he doesn't understand it, so he's going to see that he's going to have to admit he doesn't know. I don't think anybody will assume he knows in those areas. Unless he's a real psychologist. What am I talking about? So a person generally will not fall ill. Why? Because he sees he's ignorant. But when a person achieves success and knowledge in one area, what happens? He becomes more susceptible to the disease. Why does he become more susceptible? Why?
Because as he gains knowledge, he
can justify this emotion. The knowledge can substantiate the emotion. There's more of a basis for the emotion that he knows everything.
You say ignorant
people will also have the disease. You're right. Within certain areas. But the point is this. Everybody has the disease. Rama says a general disease,
okay, so.
To a degree. But the point involved is that it is even more. It is possible for a person who would not have the disease ordinarily to fall ill from this disease due to an increase in knowledge. It's possible for a person who would not have the disease under other circumstances. For his assumptions. His assumptions are more respected. He has more justification. Reality justifies to a greater degree this crazy feeling that he has that whatever he says is true. Whereas the average person doesn't have so much justification as they go, well, I'm not an authority in that field. I can't say. His disease will be limited. But a person could even become more ill if he attains a higher degree of knowledge in a certain field. Even more ill. You get what I mean? It's possible that knowledge should enhance and increase this disease.
Isn't that a strange thing?
He says like this. Ubifrat. He says, of course, I mean, we know many people like this. The person is a doctor who starts giving advice on philosophy, psychology, story, and religion. Certain have this illness. They have businessmen also as well. People are intelligent in business. They have knowledge of business. Let's face it, an area of knowledge. There is some knowledge. There's some ability. If you want to say, I don't know how intellectual it is, but it's some ability, some form of knowledge. But they assume immediately that since they're knowledgeable in that area, that this knowledge carries over to other areas. And then they start expressing themselves with certainty in other areas, just like they do in the case of business.
According to Shiva.
Right. Now he says like this. Ubifrat, he says, especially im hoya oso adam, if this individual was mimishin damin lo echad mimine haosher hamadumim. He says this person was one of those fortunate individuals who happened to be a person that attained, or that was luckily attained one of those valuable things, those imaginary values, the imaginary values of man, which are umabitim alav mabat shel gedulah v'ramos. What does it mean? He means over here. He means fame. He says, one of the imaginary values of my fame is that... Man considers this a very great thing. The famous, the world famous, world famous individual. It's a tremendous driving man. So he says, if the person happened to be one who has achieved such success in the imaginary goods, which is the fame, he says, people look at him as very great person, very high, they put him on a high pedestal. He says, and he became one of the class of individuals that are up above, high, stare high. He says, Yedaber, he speaks, he is Kablu Devara Ba'ada. He speaks and they accept his word with respect. See? So he says, this is the type of visual is that when he speaks, people listen, they accept what he says, without any question. They mishivan alvara. They don't question what he says. No question. They machin alav. They don't answer him, they don't question him. I read, kol mashe govara oisher hamaduma. He says, he gives a ratio here. The higher this imaginary value, this imaginary success has gotten, benefatsim and strengthened, yischazek oso achuli v'yisabe. This disease will be strengthened and will become more yisabe. No, yisabe means it'll be thicker, like more muscular. This is like a term from borrowing a term from physics, from physiology. The year also Adam Hosev Meshach Hazman will become a visionary. In a short amount of time. The Yomar, the Yomar Mashin is Kashek Lolomar, and he will say what he loves to Chesh means things that he loves to say. Mashin is Kashek Lolomar, Kipi Dim Yonoso. According to his imagination. O kifi machzavah, or according to his circumstances, situation. O kifi asheelos shehuv lefanav, or according to the different questions that are brought before him. The yana kifish neschashik lo, answer the way he feels. The way he feels. The fish ain't a road to lomar. Why? What's the motivation? She ain't a road to lomar. She yesh dovar. She ain't a yodea oso. He doesn't want to say that there is something that he doesn't know.
If we look at the greatness, greatness in a person is only judged by those who look at him as the great person.
It's relevant.
Right. So let's say, if everybody thinks that Nixon's a great person, then he's great. But if everybody thought he was a good,
that's right. That's exactly what it's for.
This is also a Sulean man in general. This society also is
That's true.
Yeah, but you can say some things are great even if they're not recognized as being great.
That's true. See, the point is, he's not talking about the illness of the society. Yeah, you're right about that. No question about it. Of course, the whole society is sick, because they're sicker than he is. They're sicker than he is.
If this society wasn't sick, then he wouldn't be a great person.
You're right. But now you're going into the cause of the situation. You're breaking down the cause. Ram isn't talking about the cause. All he's saying is, he's giving you a case. He's talking about the guy, the person. And he's showing how this disease is increased in accordance with the social setting, how the social situation will affect and enhance and increase this disease in the mind. That's all the Rambam is saying. You're right, of course, the Rambam doesn't agree. Rambam calls it imaginary. But the Rambam doesn't believe the truth does not become any more true by the fact that people repeat it, by the number of people that repeat it. Nor does it become false by the number of people that argue about it. It has nothing to do with it. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. If one man knows the truth, what everybody else says is irrelevant. So, but here he's speaking about an individual case, an individual. Different thing altogether. Yeah.
Isn't the individual sickness based on, the people around him?
You're saying it's cause. He's not interested in the cause. See, you're right. The other people around him help him out. You're right about that. But that is not what he's considering. The Rambam is just giving you the situation. He's defining the situation. He's not interested in going to the social course. He's not interested in going to the courses here. The Rambam is alerting you. He's interested. See, After the Mishnah mentions the beginning of the Mora. In philosophy, the difficulty in philosophy is as follows. When you pick up one part of philosophy, everything else comes along like a big mumble jumble. And it keeps on, you can keep pulling on it all day, talking for hours and hours. But you can't do that. Rationally, you have to isolate each other. He's not interested over here in going into the causes of society and why they respect people and not who they imagine. He's interested in this one thing. It's one idea, that's all. Of course, you're right.
He's not incorrect. Ram's not saying right now. Ram is just, all he's doing right now is telling you he's describing the illness, telling you what it is, and showing how it is increased. One of the big factors in increasing this is
If you are aware of it, it is possible for you.
Right.
That's true.
Of course, to be alerted to this fact is very important. We'll soon see why. It's very important for us to know every bit of knowledge we have in this area can be helpful to us. If we can recognize, spot the symptoms of the disease, many times we can spot it in ourselves, we can spot it in others. You know when to look for somebody, when not to look for somebody. You understand what I mean? And to give you a whole approach to life. I mean, there are people that do not live this way. They just accept the authority. Say, man is wise in one area, they'll accept them in another area. People live that way every day. Let's face it. So the Rambam is alerting you to the situation. Well, you'll say, oh, he's a great man. He said that. It has to be true. Okay. How many people do that? How many people think that way? Well, he said he's a great man. That's it. All right. That doesn't necessarily mean maybe he's a great man, but he might be suffering from the disease. It's a possibility too. Yes.
Who's saying that both the causes he named are really very similar?
Now what?
Both the causes he named, the causes that he's used to propagate, are very similar. And a man has to guide to say he knows everything. And if any indication that he knows something, then he says he knows everything. Either in fact he knows something, or people tell him he knows something. And that propagates the disease.
True.
And really the causes are very exactly the same.
Different sources. Correct.
One's from an external, one's internal.
You definitely have a predisposition to the disease. The thing that causes it to come out is the idea that he has knowledge. Now that idea can come from the internal, he really does have it, or external, people tell me he has it. But the cause, still the cause, the efficient cause that causes the disease to propagate is exactly the same.
Right, but the point is, really what the Rambam is saying, really what the Rambam's advice is, the Rambam has one bit of advice. That bit of advice is simple. That, and this is good advice the Rambam always took, and people always misunderstood it for, and that was simply to follow the truth. Follow the truth. Shema ha'emes b'mishe amra. Listen to the truth no matter who says it. It says in the Yad HaDorka, it says in the Dhamma Shema HaFrakka, it says in the Marna Rukhi, it says in the Blood, it says it, it says it, it says it. But nobody sees and knows. But that's what it's about. Man's ability is wonderful. He has the ability to use the mind to find true arguments. He looks for people. What he really should be looking for is arguments. He looks for people, for idols to follow. But what he should be looking for is for arguments, for the truth. Okay. I want you to know, by the way, that not everybody's capable. Not everybody's capable of looking immediately for arguments. First of all, it is not always advisable in the first instance, because the person must first learn how to reason. If he doesn't know how to reason, then his arguments, he's not on a level to follow arguments. There's a time when a person's not on a level. We're almost talking about a person who has reached a level of thought where his mind is accurate, he knows how to think properly. Then he should only follow arguments, shouldn't follow people. But there's a time before a person knows how to reason, they have to be fortunate. It's a good question. How does a person know? I mean, he seems to be like a matter of a gamble. Kind of, he happens to meet somebody that's intelligent, he's lucky. If he doesn't, he's unlucky. Not fortunate. It's a good question. How it works. But the point remains that the Rambam's talking about a person who has achieved the degree of knowledge where he understands. He can reason. Then what he should do is simply listen to the arguments. There's an interesting chazal like that, by the way. Chazal say that Rav Meir learned from Acher.
As I'll say, quote two psukim, two conflicting psukim. One pasuk says you can't learn in Beimar Rav Malach Hashem Tzvakeis Os Tzvakeis Shem Tiu. If your Rebbe is like a Malach, then you should run by him. If it's not, he's a Russia. If he's an Avari, an Avari, an Avari, then don't run by him. That's one Chazal. Another Chazal is that no, Rav Meir took the kernel and threw away the shaft. Kept the kernel, threw away the shaft. So even though the Rebbe wasn't perfect, but they still learned from the Rebbe. What does it mean? It means it depends on the level of the Talmud. If the Talmud's level is such where he can understand influenced by ideas, then it doesn't matter who learns from. Because the only thing that he learns from is the ideas. Well, then Zvacha tells him, or Rikita tells him. Same thing. However, if the person isn't on that level, but he's on the level where he's influenced by the personality of the Rebbe, so then he has to make sure that he takes the Rebbe that's there with the Malach Hashem Tzvakeis, because if he doesn't, he's going to be influenced in the contrary fashion. That's the Chazal. But the Rambam is talking about a person on the level where his mind is clear, he knows how to reason, and therefore he follows reasoning alone. Or even a person who isn't on such a level. However, if, for instance, a great person should make certain claims that certain things are true, and we question him and he does not bring any arguments to support it, so then we know that he doesn't know the area. Just doesn't know. So we only accept the great man insofar as he can substantiate what he says. But just to accept the great man because he said something, that now this doesn't help him. The other religions have that. We don't have it. We only have accepting something on the basis of knowledge. But if the great person says, I don't know, and then you're there. There's no. Algebra. There are certain people who have not reached this level. Now, I don't know whether he means by his lashon, this lashon in Hebrew is hard, whether he means shelo estapek b'shir zeh, that he means that they aren't as bad or they're worse. I'll tell you the case. Ela shebolo chiyach levayer. He wants that this person has brought proofs and wishes to explain, not real proofs, he intends to prove. She'osom ha'madoim she'enom yodim heim bilti mo'ilim vein tzorech lam. These people want to posit, so sometimes it finds another form. One form is that he knows everything. That's one form. Other areas, other things. Another form is where he maintains that those areas that he doesn't know, that's not important. The ain shum mador sheroi lachalis bayis hazman, and there is no science that a person should spend this time with or in ki in oso hamada shehu yadeh, except that science which he knows. Lo yoser, nothing more than that. He says ki yadeh hamada philosophio hanachosif. I don't know what it means. Two types of knowledge, philosophical abstract, I think he means abstract and non-abstract. And there are many that wrote very profusely on sciences that they had no knowledge of. Klal shel davar, the general rule is shamach lazu, this disease, the futzo mispashetas ba'ma'od, is spread out and is found very commonly. The kasha tisbonim b'divrei ha'ish b'mivchan ha'tzedek. Yisbara loch shir machlosa zu.
And when you analyze the man justly, analyze what he says justly, you will become clear as to the extent of his disease. Vayim oso ha'ish korov lebrius o korov lekiloyim. He doesn't even hope to find a healthy person around. He says, the only thing you can do is you can evaluate the individual, and when you evaluate him, you will be able to know how close he is to health or how close he is to destruction. That's what Rambam says. But Rambam, to find a totally healthy person, this you won't find. Because he doesn't know what to find. That's what Rambam says. That's the basic idea. And it's like this. Now he goes into, this is one idea. This is really an idea in the ethics. Again, I tell you the importance of Rambam, that he alerts you to the fact that in Yagos, we don't follow just authority. The person that says this is it. But we have to understand it. A person has no proofs, no matter how great he is, then it's just a manifestation of this disease. Then we simply can't adhere to what he says in those areas. Okay? Now he's going to go into a specific case of such an individual. And simultaneously, you have to understand as well that you have to be very careful with emotions, because there's a backlash also. A person might say, well, look, this person thinks he knows this area in which he doesn't know it. Who wants to put himself in the area that he knows? This is just as foolish. This is just as foolish. Iran didn't accept it either. The area that he knows, we must accept. Why? Not because we're accepting it, because that's the area of knowledge. But the area that he doesn't know, we don't accept. But we don't worship the individual. That's what Iran says. Alright, now he goes into metaphysics. He goes into an area of metaphysics from part that follows. I think it's an interesting, a very interesting presentation he gives over here for, first of all, what he discusses is one of the Yisodiyadas. It's one of the Yisodiyadas. And that is Kadmos Olam, the eternity of the universe. Now, we can't possibly intend to go through every facet of the eternity of the universe. And that's not really the purpose why I chose to go through this right now. Because in order to go through this eternity of the universe, you have to have many, many studies that precede it. But I think that the point that he does mention about the eternity of the universe, we can understand. And moreover, I think the most beautiful part of this, of the way he gives here, is his analysis, his logical analysis of an idea. See the later on breaks down an idea, what he analyzes. But so often, when we learn the Rambam, it's true, we take what he says and we show through reasoning how what he says is correct, consistent, why he says it. But how much more enjoyable is it when we really could see a case where he himself explains what he says? And you can see from his own words, his approach, and his thought, the way the Rambam thought, the way his mind works. This is really an opportunity to see the mind of the great mind of work, so that we can benefit from it. The Zegalinus are open. I don't know if it's like this. Galen was a physician. He lived about 200 AC. So he was known, he was the authority in medicine for years. After Hippocrates the first one, he was the second. For years, for about 15 centuries. So he was a great physician, great doctor. Rambam accepted what he said in medicine. But in other areas, he clearly had knowledge. And in those areas, the Rambam showed that he was a complete fool. The Zegalina Sarofi, and this doctor, Galen, Dovak Bomin Aholi, he says some of the disease, and Aholi says some of this disease. Yeah, it was attached to him, I already received it. Kefisha Dovak Divnei Adam Shehino Misugo of Madoim. He says, just as much, to the same degree, that people who do not have knowledge have also contracted this disease. He contracted the disease to the degree where even people who are fools, I mean, he's on the level of people who were not as high in him in other areas. Vuhu Sheisha Zen Ismacha Berfu Ma'od Ma'od. This man was very successful, reached intellectual heights in medicine, very high. Yosu Mikol Mi Sheshamanu Es Shamo Oreinu Es Dvar, more than anybody before him. V'chein Hisik Dvarim Nechonim B'nituach. V'Roma Gavar. He says he understood, or he was able to attain knowledge in certain areas of physiology, means the, you know, the parts of the body. And things became clear to him which weren't clear to physicians before. The nature and the purpose of certain of the parts of the body. And about the pulse. Things that Aristotle did not know in his time. You see? Now, the interesting thing, but the Rambam attributes this to Galen, that the certain things about the pulse, and there's a big talk about whether that pulse, what the, we don't know exactly what it was. They don't even have the writings of Galen that have about the pulse. And it's quite possible that they did know about the circulation of the circulatory system in the time of Galen, because the Rambam attributes this to be a tremendous discovery. About the Matsovi Adolfing with the pulse. But we don't have any more. There's only two lines in the Rambam's medical works about the pulse, and he says that the blood does not go, that it goes around rather than to and fro. They used to think, they knew there was a pulse, but these things, it goes up and back. Harvey was the first one that discovered the circulation of the blood. The blood keeps going straight through the whole body. Before they didn't know it. Aristotle didn't know about it. So Galen, he says, Galen, we don't know exactly what he means. Matsovi Adolfing, something about the pulse that was discovered in his day. And it wasn't known about, people did not have knowledge, man did not have knowledge about this before. Okay. By the way, that's why when the Rambam says in the Marna Bukhan, the Rambam talks about Aristotle, so the Rambam says, when Aristotle talks about the eternity of the universe, the Rambam says, I want to show you, he says, that even Aristotle wasn't sure about the eternity of the universe. He says, why do I say this? Because there are people that believe that Aristotle could not have made any mistake. And whatever Aristotle said is true. So therefore I want to show you that even he did not think that this is so. I want you to know that the Rambam was not from those people who thought that whatever Aristotle said is true. This was not his philosophy. The only reason he did mention that was precisely because there were people away, even though that he held they were wrong, and he knew they were wrong, but he wanted to bring them close to the truth as many as possible. But he himself did not think that way. The proof is right here, because he said that Galen knew things about physiology which Aristotle didn't know. And the Rambam says that as time goes on, areas of knowledge open up, become uncovered, and the man's knowledge keeps on making strides, and the Rambam wasn't one of those people who thought that whatever worshipped Aristotle. A lot of people mistake him for such an individual, because in his time, people did think that way. And the Rambam wrote for such people as well, to try to bring them close to the Agus, even though they might have this understanding about Aristotle, but the Rambam himself didn't know all of it. And he read the works of Aristotle in physics and in metaphysics. But his knowledge in these areas was very limited. And because of his good understanding, the Zachus Rayono, and his fine intellect, Asher Shtamish Ben Berfua, which he used for medicine, you see, Ulefisha Motzo Mashegilohu Mimatsovi Adofek, again he mentions the pulse, Manituach, Batolios Vapulios, Yosem Nacho Mimashe Hiska Aristotle as far as Belief Safek, the Ene Bal Tzedek. He says there's no doubt that what he found is more true, definitely, than what Aristotle mentions in his works. According to anybody that is just in evaluating it, and it brought him to speak about things that his knowledge is very limited. And he, in his mind, he attempted to argue on those who have knowledge in that area. Therefore, he answered, he argued on Aristotle. In logic, he argues in Aristotle. The Ziva Belakus, in metaphysics, in Batuvius, in physics, Varnshu Sobros on Ashkafos, of who? Who began the Var of the Tenuah of his mind, his ideas in time and in motion, Ubamakon, Ubamagia Harishon, Ubamani Harishon as the prime mover. Umezi Bacholele Varma Yidu Mezo Vale Amatos Alalim. He brings all these things which are known to the people of this field, that's the areas of motion, time, place, and primal metaphysics. The Yibar Dovar Ad Kidei Shechibru Shechiber Sifro Hayadua. Vashkochos afkrat vapaltam. The Sefer HaAchonah, Shekovol Bo Ma Shekovol Menachubas of Aristotle. He wrote his books on Plato and Aristotle in these different areas. The Chen Chiber Sifra Betaras HaHochacha. The Domash Lo Yia HaRofe Shalom Berfuah Ki Yubi Yidia Sifra. And he said that the physician will not be complete unless he knows his book. Veshehu Mo Mo the Rofe. And it's very helpful to the physician. V'estapek min ha'akeshim b'mashi yesh sorach lo b'ochocho l'fi demyono v'sheosam ha'akeshim heim ha'mo'ilim b'rfu v'zuloso v'hishmet mashi zuloso. And then he said that the ha'akeshim means the syllogisms. The syllogisms which, he writes down the syllogisms which are important for medicine, and he said those that are not mentioned here are important. V'hine elsam ha'akeshim shalosha yiskir einam ha'akeshi ha'chocho kla. The syllogism that he mentions are not syllogisms at all, they're not proofs. The Hishmik is Akashim. Syllogism is a logical form for a proof. The syllogism is the form. You see, in logic, you have like this. First, you have the categories, which are the building blocks. You know what you're talking about. Then, but those are the individual things that are found in sentences. Sentences are expressions of the human mind. The human mind is the intellectual source. So when you analyze a sentence, you're really analyzing a piece of material, piece of logical material. Now, there's two steps. First, you have to know what the objects are you're talking about. When you say, like a man standing, this, you have to know what these things are. Those are the categories. Then, how these things are related. You say, he is standing, or he is doing this. And then you go into proofs, combining them. If this is so, then this is so. Sentences, sentence structure, proofs. So, syllogism is logical proof. Logical proof. That's all it is. The Dhamma Shilin Sarakla, which says, ask us, Aristotle's love, so then, Ibudzman. He said that to spend time studying Aristotle is a waste of time. This is what Galen said. And this the Rambam says he's totally false. Kol ze biru Abu Nasser al-Farabi. Al-Farabi was a 9th century Arabian philosopher. The Rambam spoke very hardly of his works. The fish who is mitzvah vacation with Shorian vacation on the Rovin, the stopping vacation of Chutin, the Haim on the Tziusium. Oh, you have to understand what it means. It's all different breakdowns of syllogism, different types of syllogism. Six or seven. Well, in Yiddish, the occasion of Chochti and Hema Chrechim are it. You have to know the logic, know what I'm talking about. But you don't know about before, but rather themselves, Hema Chrechim are going to find. Lushma Loshen Abi Natsu Bazari. Yeah. Zillions. So this is what Abu Nasser al-Farabi says. Logic shows Abu Nasser why Abu Nasser argues the argument between Abu Nasser and Galen in logic certain syllogisms which are important for medicine, which aren't important for medicine, but it's not to us. Alright, he says that he also mentions though that medicine does not require such an abstract mind as other areas of philosophy. Because it's basically, it deals with the physical, it doesn't require that much of an abstract mind. So a person could be perfect in medicine, have good knowledge of medicine, and yet be very poor in abstract thoughts. Okay. The Geshabo Aristu Levaris Akashim, just a second. He says, Vain Sophie Lashumanam. He says there is no doubt to any person, Shegalinis Kora Sifre Aristotle, the guy, that Galen definitely read Aristotle's works on logics. Venavinum Yosem Meavana Zuloso, Shem Lamataman, he understood Aristotle's works better than most people who really don't have much of a knowledge or understanding of Aristotle at all. He says, Elashem Machma Sachuli Azeh, but because of his disease, Akoli, his general disease, Shanachma Medabrim, by which we're discussing now, Nidmelo, he imagined. Are just like understanding medicine, on the same level as understanding medicine. The fig of nitfa l'chol mashi nitfa l'chol. He says, therefore he fell prey to everything he fell prey to, and he assumed that he has knowledge in these areas. So these areas are more abstract than medicine. He was very good at medicine, because a person can achieve a lot of knowledge of medicine by practicality, as we see today, by experiments. Through experimentation, a person can achieve a tremendous amount of knowledge. A person has a good insight, has good intuition. He can intuit sometimes which particular avenue to approach, which experiments to make, and they can find out certain cures for many diseases. I mean, the cures they have today aren't so abstract, theoretically, that nobody can understand them. It's a germ and a way of protecting antibodies and things. Most of them are physical things. Not that you don't have to have an abstract mind to understand it. It doesn't require the abstract genius. But on the contrary, most of the breakthroughs are due to patient work, which takes years and years of doing tedious type of unintellectual activity in order to make certain breakthroughs. So the difference is obvious. The difference between medicine and between abstract thought. Two different areas. Okay. Excellent. The one that Dr. Bull has that. He says, that's why people left when the Ram writes in one of his letters. He says, he was only a doctor. He says, we don't have to listen to what he says. Only a doctor? A doctor is tremendous. He says, and he didn't limit himself in this by this boundary. Ella may otim on the also but marshal is galloway to Elio Savorin Tornas and Avoa. He says, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for me. He didn't stop there, he says. But because of what was revealed to him in the area of medicine, he says, he claimed prophecy. Thomas and Avoa claimed prophecy, right? But Omar, he said, Shebolo Malach Neis Hashem. And a Malach came. Lama da Soka, Tibolo Ka. Malach came to Bella. Alright. Well, I'm fine. If he would have said that he was a Navi, was a prophet, Rambam said it would have been all right, it wouldn't have been that bad. It wouldn't have been as bad, I should say, if he would have stopped there and would have said, fine, I'm a Navi. So he would have considered himself a Navi, and he would have assigned himself to those class of people which I'm a being. You know, he wouldn't have argued with them. That would have been very good. But he says, I will lower us as us. He didn't do this. Eligi also Sikhuso, his foolishness led him, Barachat Atmo, in his own self-evaluation, Ad Shehishva Ben Atmo Ben Moshe, till he thought he was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. To Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Ashalai. Viniches La Atmo as Ashlemis. And he attributed to himself perfection, Viniches of Hasif, was La Moshe of Ashalai. And he attributed nonsense, foolishness, to Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Ashalai. He says, Cholila Lakel Mimashi Omer Masikwa. Cholila, heaven forbid what the fools say. Okay. Therefore, okay, fellas. Okay, doctors, let's go. Therefore, he says, no, Ram was also a doctor. I'm not saying that he's a doctor. We're just saying, he sees things through the eyes of Ram. We're just saying, he sees through the eyes of Ram. So Ram's like, that he says, therefore, he says, I would like to tell you over precisely what he says in the way of his kfira. He says, why? He sees through the eyes of Ram. He says, because when you tell over apikorsis, it's not apikorsis itself. Apikorsis is to espouse apikorsis. But to tell over apikorsis, no, it's not apikorsis. So therefore, he says, I want to tell over the apikorsis that he says and to analyze it. He says, v'oshivavav, and I will refute him. I will refute him. K'misha meshivav misha nitfav v'dover chomor chazeh. Like somebody who answers somebody on a very serious thing like this. L'fisha ein moshe olav ha-shalom etzlo k'fishu etzleinu. Because to him, Moshe Rabbeinu is not what he is to us. Onu mikhilos tovsei haTorah. Ela'ein b'tshuvasi zu ki in she'asiklus shehum miyachasel enzias Moshe eina machai baso. He says, the foolishness that he attributes to Moshe has no basis. V'shegalinesu ha'sachol b'amis. And in truth, Galen is the fool. V'aseh dvar b'neihem. And I will speak between them, kilo ani medaber ben shnei anashim chachamim. So I'll talk about them like I'm speaking between two intelligent people. Echod she echod mehem yirsa sholom in hashengi. One of them is more perfect than the other. He says, lo kemisha machriya de novi godlo ben ish reife. Not a person who's deciding between a great navi, the epitome of abstract thought, measure of Eino, and a doctor. Ki kachu kavatzerek b'pina yunis. Because really, that's the way we should treat it, so we don't treat it that way. Because Nevuah tells us that since we know the proof of Torah Sinai, and we know what Nevuah is, so therefore we know that these things are true, that the results are true. The only question is that we have to understand them. We know that the results are true based on proof. In other words, we don't have to prove certain things in physics. We have to understand them. Similarly, in the Vuas Moshe Rabbeinu, we know is true from the basis of Torah Sinai. The only thing is that we have to prove of the Vuas, logically. But we know the result is true. But he said he's not going to use that. He's not going to use authority. But he's going to present each one's view as if they were just regular, human knowledge. But not like we really know the truth is that the Vuas Moshe really is correct. The results of them are correct. You can't argue them. The question is, how we understand them. Okay, this is like a fact. All right. Galinus, Galen, Kasher, Bolivar, Bamaimar, Hachada, Samiko, Oyo, Soyevarim, on his book on the purposes of the limbs of the body. Nazilatus. This example, he gives an example. An example doesn't matter. He just chooses this particular case. So it doesn't really matter, the specific example. But it's a general idea that's important. Zeshe in Sar Hagabos. He says, you see, the hair of the eyebrows are not as long as the hair of the head. And the hair on the padachas really should mean hair, but it means too, the words are hard. Translator himself doesn't know what it means, but it means two things: the hair of the eyebrows and the hair of the eyelid. That's what he means. Okay. Amar's varm shzendus. Now this is what Galen said in regard to this. Question is, how come the hair of the eyebrows longer and the brows shorter over here? Must be a reason. Amar, he said like this: Ha'im leima, shall we say, shahabore tzivu asasara there? God commanded this hair. Shayamo b'shir echad should remain one specific size. Lo yarech yisrael kach b'chol zman. Should never get any longer. The shasar kibalos v'atzav v'nishma, and that the hair accepted this commandment and listened, abided by the ruling of God. V'nishar bilti mamre, and it remained not rebelling. Mashin stavavo, in what it was commanded. Im machmas pachad v'yiro milahamro siri Hashem. Either was afraid to argue against God. Im alder hachesed, kindness to God. Then Machmas Pusha may Hashem Hashetzivol b'davarzeh, or is shame, God commanded shame to violate. So he says, V'imid neshasar atzmo yodeh shezeh tov lo v'yoseh no v'pulah. So Rosh the hair understands the reason why this hair should be shorter and the other should be longer. Understands the philosophy, and that's what it was about. Either convinced rationally or emotionally. V'ine Moshe, he says, Galen says, V'ine Moshe, it means Moshe Rabbeinu, Zu yashka foso b'dvormatim. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what Galen says. Galen is presenting Moshe, this is the words of Galen. He's presenting Moshe Rabbeinu's view on the laws of nature. I understand the hair isn't important. It's everything. It's everything in the world. He's just using the hair as an example. Okay. Elosha Yosetov, he says, Vashkofa Zu, Galen says, in this Hashkofa, this idea, this philosophy, this way of thinking, Ladaite Yoser Rotsu. I think that this is definitely a better view, or a more correct view. For Roy Lahatsibon, it's better for a person to take hold of this view, and the Ashkafas have to curse. To think like it cures it, that there's no God, and that's a good world to form itself. Because this, Moshe Rabbeinu's view is definitely more correct. He says, Elisha Yosef Tov Lesalem Mishneem Yahad. Now the best thing is not to think in terms of both views. Neither Moshe Rabbeinu's view nor the other view. I'm curious, it's his view. Yeah. He says, "Ulitzvos ki Hashem yitzalahu makor brias kol nivra." And what a person should think is that God is the source of every creation. K'mosham Moshe Olasham. Like Moshe Rabbeinu says, "The Tosfos hamakor Hashem yitzalachol mar Hashem nimenu nivra." Now here he says, this is again the language over here, the translation is hard to understand what he means. The Tosfos HaMakor, together with the source, with the substance from which everything is created. Now, the translator over here says,
that he means cognoscola. I don't think he means cognoscola, because later the Rambam says the Galen didn't know himself whether there was cognoscola. I think it means the toast for some mokor, not that the mokor was necessarily cognoscola, but he means it together with the substance. God is responsible for a substance. You see, in the substance, then, together, they're responsible for the world. The Shebarenu lo also a reason of the Sarat Binan, Tzorach lahat li shoyer b'shir echad barach, al neshezeh yosem masam haroi. He says the only reason that God made the hair on the eyebrows and the eyelids be small is because, shorter, is because this is more beneficial functionally for man. You know, skin away, it's more functional for man. Hair and eyebrows, we'll never see. Okay. The Shebarenu this is the best way. The eye was to block out substances that might fall into the eye, and the eyebrows protecting the eye. He says, since he knew that it's best for the hair and the eyebrows and the hair and the eyelids to be this way, also tachas a reason guf kosha double askos. He made a certain hard body, hard substance that's like cartilage. He says, mispashet la'orach a reason. It goes the extent of the eyelid. Upiresh tachasar binin or kosher. Dovak beskos agvinin. It also made the skin tougher over there. Lefishaloy and maspik lash oros asar azed and be the achas borach mashiyus Hashem shiyekach. Because it would be impossible for God to say that the hair should remain that size. Kemoshi lerotzalatis of the evan of asachas adam. If you wanted to make a stone in the man, at the same time a stone should be in the end of the stone, at the same time God can do this. Belish Yeshanasa Evan Hashim Masim Lakah. Unless he changes the stone. If he wants to make a stone in the man, he says he has to change the nature of the stone and make the stone like flesh. But otherwise it will remain stone. God can't do the impossible. Lakahwa is Afshari. Therefore this was impossible. So God couldn't just say to the hair, stop. He says, stop growing. But in order for the hair to start growing, what did God have to do?
Make two natures of hair.
He had to change the underlying substance in which this hair grew. This is what he thought the reason is. This is what he thought the reason is. Galen, this is what he thought the reason is. I don't know whether that is the word is the truth of the matter today in the light of modern physiology, modern medicine, but that's what he thought. It's unimportant. The question is really philosophical. Okay. So, this is the basic view. It's like it says, Moshe Rabbeinu's view is once more. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's view going to then?
God just gave it to me.
And what's his view?
Explains that purpose, like what it explains what it does.
That God acts through certain media. And he uses certain media in order to achieve his objective. But he doesn't just say this. Just crazy.
So what's the difference between the two?
One second. It would seem to be.
Moshe Rabbeinu also claims in certain
ways. So what is the
difference
between
the two?
One second.
And the difference between Moshe, this is Galen talk. The difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's view and ours, and Plato's and Aristotle the Greeks, is this. All God has to do is to have the will to form the substance, to give a form, and to set it, to make it ready. The moment God has that will, it's automatic. Because Moshe Rabbeinu thinks that everything's possible. All is possible before God. That's what Galen says about Moshe. This is Galen talking. He's explaining Moshe Rabbeinu's view. The way he understands Moshe Rabbeinu's view. The Shehu, Imu Raka Libro Mina Efer Sus. If he wants to make a horse out of Efer is ashes. Oshor, or an ox. The Vasachas. Bora, here Vasachas means instantaneously you do it. The ish can become the horse like that. Avalanachnu ainan makir maka. We don't accept this. Ela anu amr, we say like this. Sheyesh minat varm dvarm shayim ba'atzman bilbi asharim. There are certain things that are impossible. Udvarm ilu la yitza Hashem klal shiyu. God doesn't want it at all with the shirkar. The lo yitzish yiel advar mashurim. God only wants those things. His will is only, he doesn't even want it. His will is only in the area of the realm of the possible. That's what I mean. You can't translate like wants it by the human being. It means his will is only in the area of the possible. The impossible is not in the area of God's will. Umina Sharim in the area of possibility, lo yifchar latosha and vamasim vachashim. In that area, only takes the best things. Possible, a lot of possibilities. But in the area of possibilities, only takes those things which are in line with the design of nature, which is a purpose, which are in line with the design of finite nature. In other words, everything of finite nature has a design and a purpose and an order. God took this possibility, among other possibilities, and implanted it for a purpose, for a reason. Well, the thing of Kivan Shehoya Hayosa Masal Varoy Liris and Masar, Dinam Shishar, Midas and Barach, since we know that it's better for the eyes, the hair to be that size, and it's amazing. You know, he's showing you the hair because anything else is a big thing, but this is a small thing. He's trying to show you the perfection as far as even the small hair is concerned, that nothing is done that fast. Alright, Kfir Mispershin and Sobai Tomit, Eno no Omen Besar Hazesh, Hashem Rak Ratsa Shiahe Kfishu, Venatala Shaita Kfishu Ratsa Hashem, and instantaneously the hair complied with the will of God. A Kfishu Ratsa Hashem, Elephal Fe Pomim, Shiahe Asar Baifin Zavala Yikhe Lai. Even if God wants it, 1,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 times this, still it would not happen. The hair would never be that size, no matter how much God wants it. If we should assume that it would grow from a soft substance rather than from a hard substance. In other words, without the media, he means, in general terms, without the media, God cannot change the situation. God cannot tell the hair to stop. The only way to do it is by introducing a new media. And this natural media will be the one that will affect the change. He didn't implant it in the hard substance. He says over here that it would never remain the same, the way it is now. Also, Mata Asava Shirosha Bugov Kasha. He implanted it in the hard thing. He was not the Sugov Rach, he also had some stuff on the Russia. And if he would have implanted it in a soft substance, he would have been, God would have been more of a fool than Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Yosef Sachal, the Mifka, Tzva, Cholok, Shemiach, Tzedas, Momos, and Dinasa, or Tzedas, Momos, and Dinasa, or Amono, Bardoma, Rakash, Gov, Mike. It says, because it'd be more of a fool than the general that wants to build tremendous. The guy wants to build for his army headquarters and build it in the sand dunes. The whole thing will collapse. So he says, so then he says that God is a fool. He puts it in the soft substance of the God substance. Okay. The kach sarag bina utmiduso bimatzov ochid lo nasa alamachamas bechiroso as a homer. It can only be done because of the choice of the medium in which it is implanted. Ad kan divrei galinus. These are the words of Galen. Okay, so you have a gist of it, right? Okay. Amashe. Ramses. In the ayin b'dvarim halalu, adam filosof. If a person who is a philosopher, who has knowledge, will analyze these things, hayodea yesodos adosos, that knows the fundamentals of religion, hamafursamos bismaneo, that are well known in our day. Of course, it's well known and it's very limited. Yisbaralo bilbul ha'ish hazeh. He will become very clear in the confusion of this man. A good Ki advarim halalu lo yasimu kulam la'ashkafos balei ha'Torah. Because these things are not in line with the view of those who hold from the Torah. The lo la'ashkafos ha'philosophos. Nor are they in line with the view of the philosophers. Lefishi yisodos shtei hashkafos eitzel galinus bilti mudor. Because these two fundamentals are, they're the fundamental views, these two fundamental views, which is the views of Bali Atara, those who follow in the course of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the view of the philosophers, the Aristotelian view, Shram says, is the only philosophical view to be dealt with of importance in his day. Because he doesn't understand, they're not defined in his mind clearly what the two views are in philosophy. And because they're not defined, he's confused. The lomi du yakim, and they're not precise. Undefined and unprecise. The kasher diber ben yonim shin almu mimene, he said the same. And when he spoke about things whose fundamentals were not known to him, kemosha var ata, like I will explain now, the who, and that is, shehum niyaches lemosha ol hashom the dvorim elu shehizkir arba shkachos. That's basically, if you take what he said, and you define what Galen said, you'll find that he attributes to Moshe four views. One out of the four, that one out of the four is Moshe Rabbeinu's view. But the three remaining views are not Moshe Rabbeinu's view. Elo Galinus, it is this important. Why don't we have the chance to see the Rambam analyze it? I mean, we read through the same thing. What do we have to miss? Nothing. Rambam immediately read through it. Four views. One is Moshe's, three are. So there's a difference between the intellect. He says, this is not, the other three are not Moshe's, Ela Galinus b'chaser ha-sagasai, with Galen, with the lack of his ability, the dikdukai, and his work, and his analysis. B'chom ha-shu medababa, b'chutz rafu, and everything that talks about except medicine, nitnalo, he thought, ki abba ha-shkafa, shiz ki ha-shkafa achas. He thought that these four were ha-shkafa. Then they're all one. And I'll say even further. This one, which is the Ashkaf Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Magalinus, he told on his pachas leikir tarasa v'yisoda the Torah zekeno Avram olav shalom. That this is a, you see what it says over here. He told on. Tolada means it's a result. It's a theory which is a result. Nispachas, which is a pentad attached to the ikr taras of Yisoda, the taras the keno Avram olav shalom. He says this is one of the Yisodei Hadas which Avram Avinu established. Was Avram the Yisodei Hadas not from Avram Avinu? Not from Moshe Rabbeinu, Avram Avinu. He says the ain't the bar of mevulbalim velososer. Moshe Rabbeinu's ideas, Avram's ideas are not confused and they're not contradictory. Elo beikvos Yisodos of but ikvus means the logical pattern. The ikvus yisodosov toldosov, with the rationality, based on the rationality of the premises, the results are arrived at. See, and so ikvus means to logical analysis, logical deduction. The ikvus yisodosov toldosov, with a rational analysis of the fundamentals are found, through that is found the resulting theories, which must result. The Chalavan of all Shiske Galinus, Khan Bishem Atmo, all these things that Galinus mentioned in his own name, Bama Shizosi, and so they said this is his own belief. Eina Totsahi Yuvis Lika Daito. These results, which Galen says, are not necessary from his fundamental premises. In other words, you know what he's saying? He's saying Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, our views, the principles, from the principles follow of necessity the results. See? But from Galen, it doesn't work that way. In Galen, he says his own premises, which he holds from those premises do not follow the results. So the man is not in line rationally with what he's saying. He said, Shazazimash Enatatsu Achiyuvitz, Leikadaito, Elok. But what he says is necessary according to the opposite premises of his own. Isn't it? Isn't it?
And
so like it. He says, no, as a rational man means a person whose premises, from his premises, logical progression keeps following.
There's only one deduction?
You start from certain premises, and certain premises lead to other premises, other conclusions. You keep on going. That's rationality. That's rationality, like the one of the circuit. from the way Rav learns, this comes out of here like this, that comes out like that, that's the result. The result. It has to be that way. You find the underlying premise. You have to go around. Why do Rav learn this way? You find the Rav's premise. You say, this is the premise, therefore it comes out like that. That's rationality. But it's irrational if you have, let's say, a machlokes Rashi basis, right? So you'll give me a conclusion and basis based on a premise of Rashi, but basis holds the opposite premise. Understand?
Yeah.
This is completely irrational. He says, Elamasha Elmachiyuvi Wadazu Lassa, but what he's saying is necessary. It's a necessary result from the other people's premises, not his own premise. He's self-contradicting, in other words. Ulafikov Nisbalbulu Amora. That's why his words were confused. Below Tom, Toldoso, as he said, Doso. And his results, the Tolodos, the results, are not in line with the fundamentals. See, why is Rambam important? Because he tells you exactly what he's doing, step by step. So usually you don't find this. Either Rambam just, you know, here he is, step by step, exactly. Before he does, he tells you what he's done. V'atoch levar es mar bashkav shiyichas on the Moshe Roshon the Dvar Vela. Ha'echad mehem. One is like this. Hu'tchi lasam. This is the first one. Amru. He said, Ki Hashem tzivo etzar gvinin shlo yar. God commanded that the hair should not get any longer. V'kibo mimeno. And the hair yielded, exceeded. V'omar ki zu ashkafas Moshe b'tlamatim. He says, this is Moshe Ben's view in matters of the physical world. The Ein Zashkaf is Moshe. This is not Moshe Ben's view. The Ein Hashem Mitzav El Mazir Madas Moshe Ki'im Lebal Sechon. Says, first of all, according to Moshe Rabbeinu, God only gives commandments to those who have knowledge, who have sense. But there are no commandments to anything which has no sense, which has no knowledge. That's what Ram mentioned in the Bible too. The only one that receives in Bria, Bria Shemayim Olaf, is Father, you're right. It's Father, right. But in Bria Shemayim, when the first will get it, the one after the Bible, but other than Chava, who the only ones that receive the command, right and gracious, who the only ones, other than Chava, the Kolit, I go on off of Eichel. Because man is an intellectual being who is capable of receiving commandments, but the Bahamas, the commandments of the Bahamas, the ridiculous. The only ones that receive with Das Mashi, the only ones that receive commandments, is Baal Freichel. But anything that's not about Sechel does not receive commandments. That's why all those chazal that you find that says that a malach I made, like the one says, a malach stands in front of every grass and tells it to grow. But the Gemara doesn't mean that the malach stands and tells the grass to grow and says, yes, I'll grow. It is only a mushel. It's a mushel. A medrash is a mushel. It means that every blade of grass, no matter every small thing which takes place, is a result of the action of God in the Yisrael. That's all it is. As a result, nothing is happening haphazardly. But because of the way the world was created, all the factors put together at the beginning, every single thing has to follow. No matter how many, that's all it knows. It doesn't mean the real amount of the conversation. Now, Vashka Vashniya, the second view, Amra, you said like this. Ki Moshe Sovor, Shekhar Dvarim Asharim Mutnashim. Moshe Rabbeinu thinks that everything is possible before God. The Gamzu Einar Stuffus Moshe. This also is not Moshe Rabbeinu's view. Elohashka Fosso. But Moshe Rabbeinu's view is She'ein L'tayer Es Hashem V'yecholes L'atzeis Hananois. That we do not ascribe God. We do not ascribe to God the ability to do the impossible. And that's possible. Ach Galinus. But Galinus this Silufa with his confusion, Loshas Libo in the Kudus HaMachlekes, did not really understand what the argument is. There is an argument here, you see, Ram says. There's an argument here in this area between Moshe and between the philosophers. Moshe ben Al-Shalom and the philosophers. But the Galen did not know what the argument was. He's